Now the Pope, who has a very good vocabulary, could have thought of all kinds of witnessing that he might have exhorted major superiors of the whole world. One reason that I thought I'd give this conference now. Listen to the three that he chose. He urges religious in the church to live, first to witness to fidelity to the church, especially her authority. What an irony. And the ones who are to witness to fidelity are in so many ways witnessing to the opposite. See the call this morning, the call the party back this afternoon from the American Broadcasting Corporation. They're planning a series of television broadcasts, an hour-length documentary on the Catholic Church in America today. And the party that called me is a woman who is working for the American Broadcasting Corporation, and her job is to find out where she can get the best information about both the traditional communities and the liberalized, secular communities. Well, I will talk to her and find out what she has in mind. Needless to say, I will first have to find out how she thinks, because these television people, the more information you give them, the more they're liable to do all kinds of things which they want and create the very opposite impression of the one that is true. In any case, the first witness to fidelity to the church, witnessing to consecration to God and detachment from the world by every religious woman in the Catholic Church wearing a religious garment. That's a witness. And as we know not by now, those who have shed the garment, many, I'm afraid, have done so because they were pressured to do it. But those who have led in the secularization of religious life began to symbolize their secular spirit by wearing secular clothes. There were three main divisions to the Holy Father's presentation. The first was on prayer, the second was on witness, and the third was on confidence. Regarding prayer, just to catch up, the Holy Father explained how religious should pray, and his recommendation was to pray with fervor and with perseverance. With fervor and with perseverance. Then why? Why pray? In order to ensure that religious life remains sound. Then his famous statement, which I don't think I quoted, no movement in religious life has any importance no movement in religious life has any importance unless it is also a movement inwards, unless it is also a movement inwards to what he calls to the still center of your existence, to the still center of your existence, comma, where Christ is. No movement in religious life has any importance unless it is also a movement inwards to the still center of your existence where Christ is. Period. It is not what you do that matters most, but what you are. It is not what you do that matters most, but what you are. Unquote. Behind the statement of the Holy Father was urging religious to become specialists in prayer. Then, in asking what should religious pray for, three things. First, that religious, that is the persons themselves, may find in religious life their highest fulfillment. That religious find in religious life their highest fulfillment. One reason, undoubtedly, why so many religious are unhappy is because they don't feel honestly fulfilled. They turn to you name it what, to add to or shore up their religious life. Secondly, to overcome the difficulties that institutes have these days to cope with the problems. And third, to pray for vocations. And the expression he used, I think, is very apropos. To pray that religious life might attract vocations, that religious life might be appealing. The heart goes where it is drawn. Religious life must be seen as something appealing. The second part of the Holy Father's address, the first one that he ever gave, evidently as Pope, to all the major superiors of women's communities and their representatives in the world, the second aspect was witness. The meaning. What is witness? What does it mean? Now, this is my restatement of the Pope's teaching in my own, I hope, intelligible words. To witness means to testify to one's deepest convictions. To witness means to testify to one's deepest convictions and thus help others become convinced of the truth to which the witness testifies, and thus help others to become convinced of the truth to which the witness testifies. If there is one word that practically summarizes the present pontificate, it's the word truth. Truth. We are witnesses insofar as we are convinced that what we believe is the truth. And there is nothing, and this is not a clever phrase, there is nothing convinces like conviction. Now the kinds of witness that religious should give, the kinds of religious that witness should give, four kinds of witness he pleaded with the world's religious to give. First, witness to the church. That religious really believe in the church, which in context the Pope described as the bride of Christ. That we really believe in the church. Second, that we witness to the papacy as established by Christ. This language, by the way, the Pope was saying before he became Pope. The need of the faithful witnessing to their conviction that the papacy was established by Christ. Third, to witness to community life. By their practice of charity and mutual support, how communal living needs to be witnessed to today. And fourth, to witness to consecration. And then, it would be the Pope. He's never afraid of proclaiming the truth. Why, now we know that. And how to witness, by wearing their religious garb. And this pertains to both men and women religious. By wearing their religious garb, which the Pope says is a sign of three things. A sign of attachment to Christ. A sign of detachment from the world. And a sign of poverty. A sign of attachment to Christ, of detachment from the world, and a sign of poverty. All I know in going, for example, on the streets in my clerical garb, a lot of people, really, in a given week, stop. Maybe just a greeting, sometimes a blessing. Oh, I did tell you, of course, about that big bruise. Bless me and the kid. Oh, in the middle of a busy street, I was dodging the traffic. Literally, in the middle of the street, I was dashing across. The fellow stopped, he said, "Will you pray for me?" But sure. To them, we both made it. When people see us dressed as religious and speaking to priests, they recognize us as somehow being dedicated to or attached to Christ and detached from the world. People, worldly people, don't dress the way religious do. Then witness that superiors are to give. This is a new one. He was talking to superiors. He told them that they have the duty to help their religious grow in the realization of their vocation. That's a new duty for superiors. Help their religious grow in the realization of their vocation. By the way, that realization means, of course, from which our English word real is derived. This is the adjective that corresponds to the noun rare, which means thing. To realize or realize one's vocation is to recognize that it's real, it's genuine, it's something. It's not just my pious imagination in a heat of fervor. It's real. And second, he told me that the superiors to build up their communities by prayer, by reflection, and by consultation with others, of course, but especially, listen to this, by courageous decisions. One of the hardest things for superiors to do is to make decisions. which nowadays are by and large either courageous or you don't make them. People don't want to be told. So much for witness, no confidence. The Pope makes no bones about the special need today not to lose confidence with so many problems, so many defections, such a lack of vocation. I've seen grown women superiors break down in tears when they ask themselves and they ask you in their presence, what's wrong? Why aren't we getting vocations? And there's no simple answer. But one answer certainly is a community gets vocations, all the things being equal, in proportion to its own serious living the religious life. You don't explain the missionaries of charity their 400 vocations better, 400 novices this year. A community of great austerity. And Mother Teresa spoke here, I think it will be two Mays ago, here at St. Mary's, to the major superiors, urging them not to become disheartened, but telling them, in the Lord's name, don't present your religious life as weak or small. Present it as a life of sacrifice, you're going to get vocation. I know what austerity means. Well, I have my breakfast, as I did this past Thursday in the box. So I offer Mass for them, give them a 40-minute conference, then they take me to a breakfast. Three slices of bread. It used to be two. Three slices of bread. Some hot water and butter. And their regular meals are not much better. This is the active community. And the austerity isn't only in food, which is quite secondary. Mother Teresa allows no recording material in any of her comments. None. Television and radio are excluded by constitution. No community of the missionaries of charity may have a television or a radio. And when I want to do some recording, at least I was asked to record some of the lectures. Well, I was told you can bring your own recorder with you and take it back. And I think I did mention about this American Broadcasting Corporation is sponsoring a series of documentaries on the Catholic Church next year. And they wanted to feature religious life. So I've been called up several times by their people at their headquarters in New York, but I please arrange for having them interview the missionaries of charity. I kind of expected this when I talked to the provincial superior, the regional superior. Would you please tell the American Broadcasting Corporation that we don't need their publicity? So when I called back and I told the person at the ABC, I said I was informed in answer to your question, no. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe that anybody would turn down free publicity. And anyway, confidence and trust in God that in spite of the conditions in believer's life, the future is bright, provided it is authentic religious life. Second, trust in two things. Now, the first thing the Pope mentioned, I think, is perhaps more familiar to us. Trust that religious life will survive. It is instituted by Christ Himself. It is therefore of divine origin. Fear not. Provided you provide the means, there will be vocations. And secondly, he urged the world superior to trust in the tested forms of the apostolate. This may be somewhat new. Of course you know why he said this, because there are all sorts of exotic and bizarre experimentations in the apostolate. Trust in the tested forms of apostolate. But to make sure that he would not be misunderstood, he spelled them out. First, education. Second, care of the sick. Third, care of the old. And fourth, care of those in need. God will always make sure there will be enough needy people. Take care of them. That's why God made them. Finally, in terms of confidence, the Holy Father made this observation, which in any other context might have been a platitude. But it was not so here. God will not be outdone in generosity. Meaning what? Meaning provided we are generous with God, He will come through. Now that is not as obvious as may seem. It seems for all the world as though we are saying, if we are self-sacrificing, self-denying, outgoing, giving ourselves to what God expects of us, that He will give us grace. That's exactly what the Pope is saying. Of course, the very inspiration to be generous with God already requires grace. But let it be said, the more generous we are towards God, the more generous He will be with us. That's why, as I told Mother Angela, who was the one who invited the Institute to be here, and it's thanks to her vision and generosity, how the Institute on Religious Life is established here in Chicago and where it is. And I trust by now many have benefited from the generosity. I am confident the daughters of St. Mary of Providence will be blessed by God. Because of your generosity to those who I trust I'm speaking to all of you, benefit from the facility and the opportunity of having, for example, even these bi-weekly conferences. Communities to be generous, not just with money, in sharing what they have. For example, in assisting religious who are in need, in the missions. Every person sent on the missions, God will bless you with. And if you don't have missions in your community, find some. And you don't know where, look me up, I'll tell you. This is community. Other communities be generous with God. And God will bless them as corporate, spiritual societies.
This concludes Father John Hardin's lecture on the spirituality of Pope John Paul II.